It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today. Oh, all right, there we go. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is, checking, 1901 UTC here in Austin, Texas. It is presently 17 degrees outside, really windy. High of 19 and a low. Low was 1, or it will be 1 tonight. Maybe, just maybe, it'll finally get cool enough that I won't have to sleep with the window open. Did not sleep well. I went to bed around 3 or so, and then had to wake up at 6:30. Don't recommend. I woke up at 6:30 and, like, I went and I did something dumb, like put my phone in the fridge or something, and I said, okay, I gotta go back to sleep. I don't have enough sleep. I'm causing trouble. So I slept for an hour, and then I woke up with a headache and had to rush to hurry up to get to work. And I get to work, and it's like just shit everywhere. It's just a shit. Shitty day so far. But hey, you know what? That's fine, because I did fetch some news and get it all ready to go so we could have news to me time. So let's do it. Also, big shout out to Tobe. It was exciting to hear our good friend the Tobester back live and in action, at least speaking, making words on the show yesterday. So tune in, stick around at 1930 UTC is the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. So you don't want to miss that. All right, let's go over here to our bookmarks menu. News to me, February the 13th, 2024. Hey, that's today. Here we go. Oh. I can't forget the almost most important part. That's if you want to hang out and chat during the show, all you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org. And once you do that, launch Commode Chat. Just type COM, press enter, and then you'll press G for go to, and then type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word, and boom, you will be hanging out. So that's right. You get to hang out with Stug and Ratsu and X1 and WX Boss and the whole crew. I'm sure there's lots of people in comm hanging out. That's what I'm seeing right now. Sorry, I'm a little gassy. I scarfed down a bowl of pasta just before I jumped on the air. Probably not the best idea. Definitely don't eat dairy before you start to talk in front of a group of people. But hey, anyway, welcome, welcome, one and all. Let's get into it. There's lots of death and destruction in the world. And let me give you the heads up on some stuff you might not have heard about. So you remember we talked about Azerbaijan a bunch. Well, shit's going down there again. Armenia says 4 soldiers have been killed and a 5th wounded in the first flare-up of violence on the border with Azerbaijan since they began talks on a peace deal. Azerbaijan said it had destroyed an Armenian combat post in the south in retaliation for an earlier incident. Earlier incident. Last year, Azerbaijan recaptured its Nagorno-Karabakh region held for decades by ethnic Armenians. Armenia has now accused its neighbor of trying to escalate tensions. The attack in Armenia's southeastern Syunik province also comes days after Azerbaijan's president Ilham Aliyev won a 5th term in office, and local commentators have raised concerns that he may be considering further military action to seize territory. The defense ministry in Azerbaijan's capital, Baku, said its attack on the Armenian position near Nurkhanhand came after an Azerbaijani soldier had been wounded a few kilometers away on Monday. It also highlighted a separate border incident hundreds of kilometers north. Only recently, Azerbaijan's top official said relations between the new neighbors had become calmer in the past 6 months. There's activity afoot. At least 4 people's lives worth of activity anyway. You know, Azerbaijan. It's somewhere over there. Now, coming to us from the Straits Times is about some bodies recovered. Bodies, yep. Bodies, bodies, bodies. Pop-up ad. The bodies of two Malaysians on board a Singapore-owned light aircraft that crashed near a town west of Kuala Lumpur on the afternoon of February 13th have been found and recovered. The victims were identified as a 30-year-old pilot, Daniel Yi, and 42-year-old passenger, Roshan Singh Raina. Malaysian news outlet The Star reported. Their bodies were found in the cockpit and recovered at 8.05 p.m. He told The Star that the wreckage was buried 2 meters in the ground as a result of the crash's impact. Holy cow, that's pretty hard. 2 meters is a long way to go crashing something into the earth. He said earlier that both bodies would be taken to Klang Hospital for a post-mortem and identification by family members. Debris from the aircraft was found within a 50-meter radius of the site. About 130 to 150 personnel from various agencies were involved in the search operation, and the Air Accident Investigation Bureau, under Malaysia's Transport Ministry, will investigate the crash. So, yeah, it almost sounds like the Bob's Burgers episode where there's a seaplane guy that takes women and is like, oh, no, we're having engine trouble, and they have to emergency land on this island, and then they get seduced. Oh, that's a good point. X1 pointing out, more likely a swamp than rocky soil. That would make more sense. If you crashed 2 meters into swampy land, that would make sense. Or like a peat bog, something like that. Okay, I'm on board. Thanks, X1. So don't crash your plane into soft ground, because then it'll take a long time for people to find you. The death and destruction's not limited to out of the United States, though. The United States, capital of guns. At least one person was killed and five were injured after an apparent dispute between teenagers. The best people to be wielding guns. Teenagers on the New York City subway on Monday evening. Police said the rush hour shooting at Mount Eden Avenue Station in the Bronx was not an indiscriminate act of violence, but believed to have escalated from an argument between two groups of minors. Groups are in quotes, so I don't know what that means. One 34-year-old man was killed, while five other people, ranging from 14 to 71, were taken to the hospital. Some of the victims are believed to be in part of the dispute, while others are bystanders. The New York Police Department Chief of Transit, Michael Kemper, is quoted as saying, "This is unacceptable, and when detectives make an arrest, and I'm very confident they will, there must be swift, immediate, strong consequences." So, gotta love it. It's always fun when it's like, the police chief or somebody in authority is like, "This is unbelievable," and it's like, "But you just talked, you spoke at a funeral of somebody that this exact thing happened to last week. What are you talking about?" Anyway, New York subway shooting. Ratsu pointing out 120 to 100 guns to people. And Largo Rob's in the house. Hello, welcome, welcome. Groups equal gangs. It's possible. Maybe New York doesn't want to admit they have gangs. I don't know. Hey, Jeff, that's a cool little smiley. All right. So a group of teenagers shot at each other. No word yet, but, you know, there was a great chase movie called The Warriors where different gangs ran across New York. Subway plays a big part of the movie. As do empty Coke bottles, so it's worth a watch even today. Well, over in Ethiopia, at least how many? That's right, 45 citizens have been killed in Amhara. Oh, the Amhara violence in Ethiopia is Ethiopia's most serious crisis since a 2022 peace agreement ended war in the neighboring Tigray. And we talked about this a lot because this is one of the big international news stories that wasn't getting a lot of coverage. Ethiopia's federal security forces killed at least 45 civilians in a massacre in Amhara State in late January, the independent state-affiliated Ethiopian Human Rights Commission said on Tuesday. A statement by the EHRC had confirmed the identity of at least 45 civilians who were extrajudicially killed by government security forces for allegedly supporting ethnic Amhara armed group FANO. What's funny is one of my friends, he's from Ethiopia, And he speaks. He was, when he came to the U.S., he only spoke Amharic. Their language, their alphabet looks really cool. And he named his kid Amara instead of Amhara. They were going to name her Amhara, but everyone they told it to had a real hard problem with that H. So they're like, let's just do Amara. So anyway, pretty neat. Largo Rob putting that 20 squiggle. I hate when that happens. It's one of the best, one of the most common and frustrating typos in comm, for sure. A hiker who's been missing in the United States for days was found on Mount Baldy. Now, I'm not sure. Usually, the only time I hear bald is either when we're talking about, like, Steve Harvey, or we're looking, or it's like a category that pops up on certain websites. No. This is the name of a mountain. The body of a 22-year-old hiker has been recovered from the mountains in Southern California following an intense, week-long search in challenging winter conditions. Li Fei Huang disappeared on February 4th after going hiking alone in the Mount Baldy area of the San Gabriel Mountains. Just as the atmospheric river was set to drench the region, the historic storm covered the mountains in snow, and the harrowing weather and avalanche risk hindered search efforts. On Sunday morning, a helicopter crew recovered Huang's body from the upper San Antonio Creek Falls area of the mountain. The San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department said in a statement, her body was first spotted by a drone operator on Saturday afternoon, but conditions prevented searchers from immediately accessing the area via ground or air. Search and rescue crews camped nearby overnight to preserve the scene, the sheriff's office said. Medics found her remains in the following morning. Authorities have not yet released Huang's cause of death. The sheriff's office has advised the public to stay out of the mountains during inclement weather. And for Mount Baldy, it's about 40 miles northeast of downtown Los Angeles, and it rises to more than 10,000 feet, and it's a popular spot for hiking. So there you go. Who knew? So yeah, when you go out hiking, if you're going to go out for a hike, at least check the weather app and make sure that you're not going to get snowed in or washed away or something bad like that. How terrible. Like, oh yeah, I'm going to go up and check out this waterfall and see it. And then it's like, oh no, it's raining. Oh no, it's snowstorming. Oh no, I'm trapped at this waterfall. I guess I'm just going to have to stay here and starve to death. What a terrible way to go. All right. Well, don't worry. You don't die just in the United States or just from different things. Or just from, like, nature. You can also just get killed for being a woman. Surprise, surprise. Three deaths of three women in 1 week, all allegedly murders by their husbands, has caused outrage in Somalia and sparked days of protest over the country's femicide rates. Police have named the suspects in all three killings, which took place in the first week of February, as the dead woman's husbands. Two of the victims were pregnant, even in a country where, after more than three decades of conflict, death and violence are part of everyday life. There have been demonstrations in the capital of Mogadishu, with protesters holding up placards showing photos of Lul Abdi Aziz Jazirain, her hospital bed. The 28-year-old had been doused with petrol and set alight. She suffered severe burns and suffered in agony for 7 days after being attacked. Her brother said neighbors had heard a ferocious argument, and later broken down a locked door to reach the badly burned woman and take her to hospital. Jazira, 28, was a widow with six children when she met her second husband at the airport where she worked. I thought they were a happy couple, said her brother. A police spokesman said that the suspect had gone to an area where there was heavy fighting between the government and Islamist group, which has controlled much of Somalia for 17 years. This made it difficult to catch him, said the police. The intense security meant it took time for us to find and arrest him. Yeah, this is all pretty rough. On February 4th, another man was arrested in the town of Afgoye near Mogadishu, outside his family home, in possession of gasoline and matches. Police said neighbors intervened in what appeared to be an attempt to set his wife and children on fire. Oh, man, just terrible. Absolutely terrible. So I'm getting burned out on that. no pun intended. But that's burning me out. So let's stop talking about that. I don't have the fortitude for it all so far yet. All right, here's some happy news, I guess. Greece on the brink of legalizing same-sex marriage. Parliament will vote on a bill introduced by Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis on Thursday. Facing dissent from members of his own center-right party, he will need to rely on support from left-wing opposition to get it through. Christina and Victoria will be there inside the chamber willing it to pass. 2 years ago, they returned to Greece from the UK, where they had removed for work, and to live their relationship freely. They married in the UK, and Niovia was born there. The law passes. They plan to have their marriage recognized under Greek law. So, pretty nice there. That'll be kind of cool if they legalize that in Greece. Let's see what's going on in Com. Yeah, pretty sick. Hot news. Hey, Z-Man's here. Hot news. So, sometimes you do things silly things when you're drunk. And one of the things that's pretty common, which shouldn't be, but is that you drink and then you drive. Well, one man in the UK felt so bad, he called 999 from his mobile while driving. That's right, while drinking. A man's been arrested in Knaresborough after reporting himself to police for drink driving. North Yorkshire police said they received a call shortly before midday on Monday from a man who said he was drink driving and doesn't know what he's doing. The man in his 50s told the 999 caller that he was in the Knaresborough area of North Yorkshire and that he'd had a heavy weekend. Officers located his vehicle, a black transit van, within 15 minutes, and the man was arrested after breath test found he was more than 3 times over the legal limit. The roadside breath test recorded the driver at 118. The legal limit in England, Wales, and Northern Ireland is 35 micrograms per 100 milliliters of breath. In Scotland, it's 22 micrograms. I don't know how to translate that to the percentage, like 0.08, so that's up to you. The man was arrested and remains in custody. Posting about the incident on social media, North Yorkshire police said, man calls the police to report he is a drink driver. Well, it's not every day that this happens. A suspected drunk driver daubs themselves into the police. Daubs himself. Anyway, alcohol is dumb, and what a narc. Yes, an own goal, I guess. X1 pointing out the legal limit is almost nothing. Yeah, it's probably fair. It's like the legal limit to operate a vehicle. I mean, you'd hope it would be really low, but also not so low that like somebody who went to a party and had a drink and then went home wasn't able to go home, I guess. But that's probably not the right criteria. It should be whether or not they're competent to drive, not whether or not they can make it home. Oh, my gosh. It's 1919 UTC, which makes me want to remind you that in 11 minutes, 10 minutes and some change, we've got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. And today being Tuesday, you can press the equal sign in Calm. Well, you can press the equal sign any day in Calm. But if you press the equal sign, you'll see all the shows coming up for the day, including this one. And, oh, man, I'm sorry. I'm loopy because I'm so tired. This one and the Dubious Goals Committee, and more, like, alright, here we go, Internet Noises, with DJ Leon G at 2000 hours, then, Organized Chaos at 2200, and, Praise Then Darkness from the very own DJ Northern Lights. Coming up at 2300. Man. I closed my eyes for a moment and it's just like it's a bunch of willpower to get them to open. So, Liam, just a second. Give me just a second. Okay. Alrighty. A pint of vodka is not an option. It's a commitment. Yeah. Pints of vodka. Dangerous stuff. That's a little much. Unless you put some orange juice or something in there, I guess. Alright. What else is happening? Well, the U.S., I didn't know that the U.S. could do this, but apparently, if the U.S. doesn't like that you sold something to somebody, it could just show up and take it back. That's what the United States has done. An Iranian plane company sold an airplane to a company in Argentina. But don't you know, that's not, the U.S. doesn't like Iran selling things. So once they sold it to Argentina, the United States said, no, sorry, that's our airplane, and went over there and took it back. What? Yeah, exactly. We wouldn't do that. Oh, yes, we would. The United States has seized a Boeing 747 cargo plane that Iran sold to a Venezuelan state airline, drawing condemnation from Tehran. The U.S. Department of Justice announces late Monday that it had asked... that had taken custody of the aircraft after Argentina grounded it 18 months ago. Man. I'm having a moment because I got too sleepy. Anyway, the U.S. Department of Justice announced late on Monday it had taken custody of the aircraft after Argentina grounded it 18 months ago. Washington says the sale of a plane to Venezuela in 2022 violated its sanctions on Tehran. The U.S. imposed sanctions on the airline due to its affiliation with the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, which the United States has designated a terrorist organization. Sorry, I was trying to catch up. The U.S. Justice Department cited court documents claiming the registered captain of the aircraft was a former commander of the IRGC and a shareholder and board member of Fars Air Kesham. Ugh, that's rough. So, what jurisdiction? So, I went through and, oh, hey, today is Fat Tuesday. Happy Fat Tuesday. So, Jay LaMoth, I went through and read the news kind of more in detail. Basically, the Iran bought a Boeing aircraft. Then, after they were going to buy a replacement, or they bought a different airplane, they sold the old plane they bought from Boeing to Argentina or Venezuela. So when they bought the airplane, it was okay. There weren't sanctions against Iran. But now that they did sell it, the United States said, sorry, we don't allow terrorist groups to buy or sell United States technology. And so then they seized the plane. Man. Pancake Day. Cake Day is Ash Wednesday again this year. Oh, well. Oh, my gosh. My brain is shutting off. I'm sleepy. We got 6 minutes to go, though. So, we got to keep going. Oh, there was an egg story today. Do I have it in my list? Because I hope I do. It was great. I think it's actually I think it's an overflow story. Amazon. Yeah, one shake. We can go to the overflow. Bank. And let's find our egg story. Da, da, da. All right, here we go. We're talking about eggs. The incredible edible egg. The only intact chicken's egg found from Roman Britain is now thought to be the only one of its type in the world. After scientists found it still has liquid inside. That's right. There is an egg available. An egg found in the UK from the time the Romans were around. The egg is about 1,700 years old and was found during a dig in Aylesbury in Buckinghamshire. Researchers said at the time it was a genuinely unique discovery. However, they admitted they were blown away recently to find it still contained the yolk and egg white. Yolk and egg white. A micro CT scan, one that produces 3D images, revealed the contents of the egg complete with the air sac.
Hold on, I'm going to scroll through. Here we go. Edward Bidulph, a senior project manager at Oxford Archaeology, which oversaw the excavation, said while finding the only intact egg from the period in Britain was amazing, the fact the egg still retains its original contents is absolutely incredible. He said we were blown away when we saw the contents in there, as we might have expected them to have leached out. The egg was found with others during a dig that took place between 2007 and 2016, ahead of a housing development at Berry Fields in Aylesbury. It was the only egg to survive intact, with others breaking during excavation, releasing a potent stench, in quotes. The phone tree findings... Oh, man, I feel like I was sinking. The findings from the site were made public in 2019. At the time, Mr. Bidulph said the extent and range of discoveries was more than could be foreseen. However, years on, he said the Roman egg was still revealing its secrets. So, I think that's pretty neat. I thought it was kind of funny that it was like, oh, these stinky-ass eggs, watch out. Let's see what we got here. Alright, sorry, I was just trying to see where we were in comm so I didn't lose my place. Alrighty, let's go over here to bookmarks. Oh, man. Let's talk power. Sorry. I lost my power story. Oh, because I went to the wrong folder. My bad. February. This is cool. France halts a 100 euro a month electric car lease scheme after huge demand. Minister says scheme to help low-income houses households cut emissions is victim of its own success. The French government has suspended an electric car leasing scheme after only 6 weeks, following a surge in demand that more than doubled the number of vehicles. Vehicles required. Just said the scheme launched in December to help low-income households with cut carbon emissions would be relaunched next year. Originally, 25,000 European-built electric cars were to be offered for lease from 100 euros. Excuse me. But this was doubled after massive demand. The government said it had received more than 90,000 applications at the end of January. It's a real success story and symbolic of French environmental policy. It's good for the wallet and good for the planet. Motorists who balked at the cost of buying an electric car, which are typically more expensive than petrol or diesel vehicles, were offered a means-tested leasing scheme at a cost of 100 to 150 euros a month for a vehicle worth 47,000 or less. Applicants had to be over 18, live in France, live at least 15 kilometers from their place of work, and drive more than 8,000 kilometers a year as part of their professional activity, and have a household taxable income of less than $15,400 a person. Alright. that's about all the time we got. I'm going to fade out here. I'm so sleepy. Enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee, and Tobe and Coltrane.
Well,
bye-bye.
That sounds I'll sleep today. Our time's coming to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900.